Hey everyone, welcome back to the On Track Podcast. Today I'll be talking to Mike Vinson, the COO of Averitech, that has developed a very exciting technology in which they use a semi-additive process using a liquid metal ink as the catalyst seed layer, so we can get down to now 1 mil and sub 1 mil line and traces. I'm sure this will be music to your ears. So they're in beta now, trying this out at some local board shops. So you're gonna want, again, keep an eye on this technology. So let's just jump right in and talk to Mike at Averitech. Welcome to Altium's On Track Podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media. Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm looking forward to learning more about you and Averitech and the technology. So why don't you just jump right in and tell us a little bit about your professional background and give us a thumbnail of Averitech.
Great. Thank you, Judy. My background has been with the semiconductor industry for many years, starting with Texas Instruments, primarily in the area of interconnects. So when I came to Averitech, I started working with them to create some HDI solutions in the interconnect area. Mm-hmm. Currently, that's what we're working on, is creating HDI circuits here at Averitech, denser circuits, and more able to create large numbers of connections within a very small area.
Which, of course, in this world of ever-shrinking miniaturization is kind of the holy grail. So what's sort of driving Averitech? You know, what kind of got you launched in this direction and doing the research and to develop this technology in the first place?
So that was pretty much it. We were seeing that a lot of the high-density interconnect going on in printed circuit boards was starting to look like what we would see in the area of, say, BGA packaging, mm-hmm. those kinds of circuits. And we felt that coming up with a good solution for that area would be very valuable to the industry. So we started developing the Averitech technology, which is a ink that we have for depositing very thin layers of catalyst, into developing that for depositing very thin layers of copper to be used for semi-additive processing, as well as full additive processing.
So what kind of lines and spaces, before we sort of dig into the meaty part of the technology, what kind of lines and spaces does this enable?
Largely, people were interested in seeing if we could extend the technology to 5 micron lines and spaces.
Wow.
While we did some proof of concept in that area, we're not doing a lot in the practical space right mm-hmm. now. Mainly the practical space, people are interested in less than 25 micron or 1 mil trace in space. So that trace in space that they're looking for, we've done several in the area of 20 microns, so that's 0.8 mil. Mm-hmm. And then we're also looking at some finer ones for some other customers. But primarily people are interested in what it's going to take to get below that 1 mil barrier they seem to run into mm-hmm. when they try other technologies.
Yeah. So tell us, again, before we dig into the meaty stuff, being able to get to those kind of geometries, which are phenomenal, by the way, what does that sort of open up for today's engineers and designers, since that's sort of our audience here?
Well, when you can then make a finer trace, you can take smaller packages with finer pitches on, say, a BGA pad layout, and then run the escapes through those BGA pads with more and more circuits, with denser and denser circuits. Mm-hmm. So as those pitches shrink, the necessity for finer lines to be able to run those escapes also shrinks. If you can exceed what's being done today in terms of escapes, you can also reduce the number of layers, improve signal integrity, and also improve the yield.
Again, holy grail, that sounds great. So why don't you jump in and tell us about the technology itself. What you mentioned inks. So tell us about the chemistry and how things are produced and so forth.
So the fundamental part of the technology is we have a ink that carries palladium onto the surface of the substrate and deposits it in very thin layers, one atom at a time. So a lot of times we call this atomic layer deposition, but that term is used a lot for other types of atomic layer deposition, so we call it liquid metal ink instead. But okay. It does put down this ink into extremely thin layers. They're non-conductive, which gives us a lot of flexibility for building circuits with those very thin layers of catalyst, as well as other applications. But let's focus on the circuits. So with that very thin layer, we also have a very dense layer that can be used to seed electroless copper in a very thin, dense layer. So these two thin, dense layers then form the ability to plate up or pattern plate on top with some very fine features. And when we go to etch away the thin layers, we don't have to protect the circuits or the features, even though they're very small, because the extremely thin layers can then be etched away quickly.
Okay.
So all of those things together allow for us to make very precise and very small circuits.
How is the catalyst applied? I mean, is it being that fine, how is it applied?
When we do flex circuits, typically we apply it across the entire surface with just a roll coating machine. So it's just a liquid that's basically being smeared across the surface at a controlled thickness. Then we dry that and then we cure it. In the case of a printed circuit board that's got holes and vias that we need to penetrate, a lot of times we'll just simply dunk the printed circuit board into the ink. It coats the surfaces uniformly, then we dry that and we cure it, and it produces the very thin layer of palladium on the surface and in the holes of the printed circuit board.
And with small vias, you don't have any problems with voiding and that kind of thing? It'll penetrate very small holes?
That's one of the exceptional things about the ink. Since it's based on an organic solvent and it's not based on a water-type solvent or a water-type bath, it penetrates very effectively into all of the nooks and crannies. So in a plated through hole, it's getting into the glass fibers very effectively. In blind vias and micro vias, it's getting down inside those holes. And in even the finest vias, we're doing work now down to 20 nanometer diameter vias.
We're
seeing very good penetration into those kind of cavities because the ink is based on a organic solvent, not necessarily water, that would inhibit it from going into those fine areas.
Interesting. Wow, that's really something else. So you mentioned, so you call this a semi-additive, right? Because you're building up off of basically a catalyst that has a noble metal in it, and then liquid metal ink. Is this a two-stage? I'm trying to get my visual brain around it. So the process is semi-additive, but the medium basically is the liquid metal ink then?
So the medium, the liquid metal ink allows you to build very thin layers of copper to then build up the pattern plating on. Pattern plating's been around in printed circuit board shops for quite a while. But the ability then to etch away the base copper that's been used to plate the pattern up onto has oftentimes interfered with how small a circuit you can make or how precise a circuit you can make because of the amount of etching that needs to be done. With our approach, we put down such an extremely thin layer of copper that etching is done without much trouble and then can be very rapidly done without affecting the traces. So the idea is to pattern plate on this very thin layer, and it's our ability to make a dense, very thin layer onto which the pattern can be plated. That's the real key to the SAP process.
I see. So normally etchants, right, if they have to go through thicker copper, then that would normally have a longer dwell time, right, with the etchant, which can be problematic, is what you're saying, because it's so thin, it can just quickly etch off and be really precise.
That's correct. We can very quickly etch away the copper that we don't want on the circuit, therefore leaving the circuit intact and not much disturbed by the etching process.
And do you use standard etchants? Like, how does this work as far as, I know this is developing technology, I should say that up front, that this is not commercially available yet for our listeners, but it is in development, and there's some really exciting things happening there. So will this be able to be run in a traditional board shop? Does it require special etchants?
Yes, it can be run in a traditional board shop, and the requirement for special etchants will only be based on what kind of limitations we need to put on things like undercutting when we do the etching into the board. So if those kind of conditions don't show themselves, and in the case of most rigid circuits, that's the case. In some films that we've dealt with in the past, we have to be able to limit the amount of undercutting because the circuit is so fine. So we do have made some special etchants for those cases. But for the most part, it's a pattern plating process. It's a dip coating with the ink. It's a batch curing with the ink. So there's really not that much of a stretch for the current printed circuit board shop, except when you get to the fine line lithography. Many printed circuit board shops right. don't have the fine line lithography and the fine line inspection necessary for these boards.
So how do you get across that barrier?
Well, those tools exist, and they're just now emerging in the marketplace. So there's some very good tools out there for that process. It's just that most of the board shops don't have them currently. So for the inspection, you can do manual inspection. If there's only a few areas on the board that require this very fine features, you can get by with manual inspection. And the lithography is available as well for them to be able to purchase and use in their shop.
So as you talk to OEMs, you know, in these early days, as you sort of co-develop and work out the kind of the final mile on this technology, do you see them doing it more in selective areas or more of a global area? Or what kind of interest are you seeing as you work with partners?
That's a good point. We see both things evolving. We see the board shops wanting to take advantage of the plated through-hole performance that we can obtain across the entire printed circuit board. Mm-hmm. But also we see them wanting to limit the amount of actual fine line features that they put, or ultra fine features, to a smaller area of the board to limit the cost associated with that. And it's usually only necessary in one or two spots across the board for a lot of applications. So in those cases, we're seeing people who would like to selectively use it across the board instead of uniformly across the board. And it can be done. It's just a matter of how you adapt the technology to what your current processing is.
So you're saying the lithography and equipment is available, is out there. It will obviously involve some investment either by the board house, the OEM, or however this sort of shakes out. Do you see that as a showstopper, or is it so badly needed that it's worth the investment for people that are taking a look at it?
I think that people in most of the advanced board shops, many advanced board shops will already have the capability.
Okay.
And many of the board shops that don't have the capability are looking to advance their capability, and one of the ways that they've done this traditionally is through new capital equipment. So if they have a mind for doing fine line lithography, the new capital equipment they purchased to do that with should work very well with this.
Okay. Technology. So they'll get a handsome return on their investment then. I can imagine they would, because this is so desired in so many fronts. So how are you going to eventually get this to market? What's your strategy there?
So our strategy is primarily to license this technology and to sell them the liquid metal ink so that they can then use that in their own shop to produce these parts. It's much like a lot of other technologies that are out there today that can be used with the purchasing them from the material supplier. And it won't be very different from that. So our goal is to be able to get the technology out into as many board shops as possible, get it as broadly used as possible, and then we can earn our living that way.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, to that end, I guess it would be pretty obvious to say then you have some patents on that liquid metal ink that will, you know, position you to sell
we
that.
Do.
Right.
We do, not only on the liquid metal ink, but also on the applications like the semi-additive process. So we have a lot of intellectual property around that and other uses of liquid metal ink besides patterning.
Great. So, again, since our audience are basically EEs or designers, what do you see as you look forward, maybe some design considerations or, you know, here at Altium, right, we develop tools. So how do you see that sort of unfolding over time? What are we going to need to do with the tools and what kind of design considerations do you see PCB designers needing to make in the future?
So there's a lot of desire with designers to limit the number of layers they put into a board by being able to put more circuitry on a given layer.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that this technology provides that for them. How the design tool then takes that newfound liberation from what their design constraints were that were forcing them into the multiple layers and turns that into a more effective and productive design is a challenge that the design tool manufacturers will need to address. But since it appears from at least our perspective that this is just an iteration or the next iteration in the design criteria of going to finer and finer circuits, that those ideas and concepts of adapting the design tool to technology that allows finer and finer circuits and denser circuits on each layer should be straightforward and not really require a lot of extra concepts to be able to do it, more of an extension of the concepts that are already in place.
So I know you're sort of, I don't know what the right term would be, beta testing, or you're working with partners now to prove out things, and do you have any sense of sort of time frame to where this would be available? Because I'm sure everyone in the audience is drooling right now, Mike. So
we're starting with a couple of shops to begin beta testing this process within their shop, and we're in discussions with them right now, actually three. And after that, we should have more flexibility to go into other shops. If there are people out there who would like to schedule with us when they can implement this, they should get in touch with us right away so that we can get them queued up, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
We are beginning to put it out there. This technology is being used in production of certain devices. Even though it's a very limited production, it does go into production for certain devices. So there are a lot of different ways to implement this that are not only restricted to the semi-additive process. And it's really up to the different customers and what their needs are as to how we implement it and how rapidly we implement it.
So besides being on the OnTrack podcast, how do you spread the good news, Mike?
Well, we have some wonderful sales reps out there. I think one who you know is very well.
Very
Dean.
Well. Tara Dunn, and, my friend.
Yes.
Who has also been on this podcast.
And your friend has actually done some very nice articles for us out there
about
how this technology can be applied. And we also go to trade shows and talk to different people about the technology and how we can implement it. We've joined some groups like NextFlex, who can also help us get the word out to people about how to use this technology.
You know, I didn't ask you, but this technology will work for both flex and rigid circuits, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and rigid flex, I'm assuming, since you can do both.
Yes.
So will you please, so I'll make sure to find, get with Tara and get those articles that she's written about the technology. And then where else can folks find things out and what else can we put in the show notes here, Mike, so people can learn more about your technology?
Well, they can always go to our website at averitech.com. They can email me directly or they can use the info@averitech.com email address on the website. My email address is mike@averitech.com. And then they can contact Tara as well and she can help guide them through whether or not this technology can help them or not.
Do you have some images and things either you or Tara could share, what under a microscope or things like that can show the kind of the...
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I can send those to you right away.
Okay. All right. Well, we will be sure to put all that in the show notes. Mike, is there anything I failed to ask you today? It's very exciting, and congratulations.
No, I don't think so. I think that captured the gist of the technology.
Okay. Well, it's very exciting. We're going to be watching you closely, and I hope as you get further down the road, you'll come back on and tell us more about it and tell us about the exciting things that are being achieved.
I will do. And thank you very much for this opportunity, Jean.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Mike. So we will be sure to share everything that Mike and Tara share with me in the show notes, and be sure to check that out. Thank you for joining us for today's On Track podcast. We'll see you next time. Until then, remember to always stay on track.